The next presentation is on a subject related to me by name. That's about my father. And I did not ask for that topic. That was volunteered by Dr. Saad. Dr. Saad is one of the prominent engineers in the field of microwave communications. In addition, he has an MA in theology from the University of Chicago, and his field of research is modern Copts in general. He's also the managing editor of the Claremont Coptic Encyclopedia and the Society University Relations Coordinator. And he has a program in Logos on Coptic civilization, which he had it for several years. Thank you, Dr. Saad. Go ahead.
Thank you, Hani, and thanks to everyone who is watching. I'm not going to be able to see myself because I have to read from the text. So please, if you insist in seeing me and for some reason I am disconnected, please let me know.
Now we see you.
Right, but I will not be be able to see myself while I'm reading. So I continue to be seen now, right?
Yeah.
Very good, very good. The title of the topic is Archdeacon Justus Tekle, who lived with us on Earth from 1925 to year 2000, and the establishment of the first Coptic monastery in the diaspora. I had the honor and the blessing of meeting Archdeacon Justus early in the 1990s until his departure in 2000. It has been frequently said that the Coptic Church has a wholeheartedly serving laity that is the envy of many churches. And I will share with you where I read this by one of our participants today, or attendees, Dr. Nelly Van Doorn Harder, in her book about the emergence of the modern Coptic papacy. And so you'll find that quote in this book and few other books. But thank you, Professor Van Doorn Harder, for stating that. And if it has been true in Egypt for two millennia, the quote I just mentioned, it is equally true in the Coptic diaspora. And that's one of the purposes of this paper. What did Coptic laity did to the, for the church in the diaspora? If the, particularly if one considers the historical fact that Coptic laity migrated first, succeeded in their professions, laid the foundation for local churches, and then facilitated the coming of Coptic clergy. This article is about one such example of a layman, Mr. Noshi Tekle, whose volunteerism was a critical facilitator in establishing and maintaining St. Anthony Monastery in California's Mojave Desert, the first Coptic monastery in the diaspora. When Noshi Tekle was ordained deacon in 1989, then Archdeacon in 1995, both ordinations by His Holiness Pope Shenouda III, and both ordinations to were dedicating the person to serve. The person is a married man, but dedicated as a deacon and archdeacon to the monastery of St. Anthony in California, Mojave Desert. His ordination were in recognition of what he had already achieved over many years as a layman and entrusting him with a mission still in progress. So this is a unique situation just to demonstrate the concept of what I'm saying. So we are talking more here about his ministry as a layman. And the fact that he was later became archdeacon is in recognition of that achievement, not the other way around. He was not made archdeacon with the promise of future service. Named Noshi Tekle Ederi at birth in Alhawatka, Asyut, in late January 1925. He grew up as a member of Ilderi family that closely served and looked after the day-to-day needs of two monasteries, the Saint Bachomius Monastery in Sawama'a Sharq, the hometown of Pope Cyril IV, and the St. Thomas the Hermit Monastery in Akhmim. In Arabic, Ilderi describes a person or a thing associated with a monastery. During 1943 to 1948, that's 5 years, Nushi Takla was a student at the Faculty of Engineering of King Fuad University, renamed Cairo University after the 1952 revolution. Besides the burdens of being far away from home, difficult times abounded during those 5 years. The experiences Nushi lived through during those 5 years probably shaped Nushi's resilient character for the rest of his life. First, it was bombings, darkness, and uncertainty of World War II. Speaking of coronavirus, difficulties and uncertainties, imagine World War II, which lasted from 1939 to 1945, culminating in world-famous battles between the Axis and the Allies inside Egypt, only a couple of hundred kilometers from Cairo and Alexandria, including the two battles in Alamein in July and October, November 1942. This very difficult time. Our parents told us how explained stories. Then Nushi lost both his mother and father during his first and final years in college. That is in 1944 and 1947, respectively. He stepped up to his family responsibility and took care of his young stepmother, his toddler stepbrother, and his unmarried sister. Nushi became known as the most responsible and dependable member of his family. Many, including his older brother, sought his wise advice. Nushi must have found solace in the company of the Sunday school movement that had a few years earlier planted a youthful presence around the university. There he joined an enthusiastic cadre of college students and new graduates, including Saad Aziz, who later became Bishop Samuel, Yusuf Iskandar, who later became Father Matta al-Miskin, Wahib Suryal, who later became Father Salib Suryal, and Sami Amin, who later became Father Antonius Amin. For 22 years after his college graduation, Nushi worked as an engineer in Egypt's Department of Civil Aviation, while continuously serving Sunday schools, especially at St. Peter's Basilica in Abbasiyah, Cairo. In September 1953, he was married to Suad, and in 1955, our own Hani Takla was born in Cairo. Fast forward, in early 1970, the Takla family immigrated to the United States and arrived in Los Angeles to find that the Coptic community had begun regular church services under the leadership of Father Bishoy Kamel, who had arrived a few months earlier a St. Mark church was meeting at a rented church on Robertson Avenue. The Takla family gravitated to that neighborhood, moving from one place to another, but rotating around the neighborhood, which they are still now. The monastery concept. How did the monastery come into the picture and the role of Nushi Takla? Given that monasticism was born from Coptic spirituality and that monasteries and monastic life figure so strongly in the Coptic culture, it should not come as a surprise that the Copts immediately thought of establishing a monastery in the diaspora. At a time when there were only four Coptic churches in the entirety of North America, served by five priests, the thought of action for the creation of a North American Coptic monastery came naturally into existence. In 1973, His Eminence Ambama Maximus, Metropolitan of Qalyubia, visited Los Angeles. St. Mark Church was then being led by two energetic priests, Father Kirillos Daoud and Father Arsenius Sirri. Asked, Ambama Maximus got the inspiration. By the way, he was the running nominee for Patriarchate in 1959, along with Pope Kirillos VI, and got the second number of votes. Pope Kirillos got the third number of votes. So a few years later, in 1963, he was ordained Bishop of Qalyubia. So he suggested to the community here, and the priests in particular, the idea of a monastery. He conveyed the concept to His Holiness Pope Shenouda III, and in 1974, 40 acres were purchased for $10,000, about one-third of its market value at that time. The community was enthusiastic, and a core group formed not only to raise the purchase price, but to fundraising, but also to begin cultivating the land, building a chapel, a few rooms for potential monks and visitors, etc. Three immigrant engineers were at the forefront of this effort. The first was Atif Ishaq, who in 77 became the first monk consecrated to the monastery by the hand of His Holiness Pope Shenouda. Later in 1980, he was elevated to the episcopate and named General Bishop Dioscoros. Having received a master's in engineering from Caltech, he was entrusted with handling technology-related work in the Patriarchate in Cairo. So the monastery lost its first monk. The second immigrant engineer was Magdi Saad, who migrated to Los Angeles in 1968. Later, he would become a monk at St. Bishoy Monastery in Wadi al-Natroon. Then in 1976, he was ordained Bishop of Port Said. So the monastery here lost its second potential monk. The third immigrant engineer was Nushi Takla. He remained the main local constant of the monastery. Everything changed around him. He remained a constant over the next 27 years. He continued to carry the responsibility of its continuation, especially in the years when the project was practically abandoned and a parish church in Riverside was begun as a dual purpose, if not an alternative project, at the very least, as a retreat house alternative to that failed project of St. Anthony Monastery. Abandonment of St. Anthony Monastery project came under forceful waves. Probably the strongest was the house arrest of His Holiness Pope Shenouda III from September 81 to January 85. In that atmosphere, a second monk who was living at the monastery after the first monk, Amba Dioscoros, became a bishop in Cairo, that second monk was left alone in the monastery in the desert, 100 miles away from the nearest Coptic church or congregation. He was alone and lonely, so he could not resist abandoning the monastic life and ultimately he migrated to Canada, actually, and became a layman in Canada. So a promising start ended in a ghost monastery. But one man single-handedly decided to take it upon himself to keep the torch burning and to gradually recover what had been lost. Even if it took years of efforts and lots of faith, he organized day trips for the community to visit the monastery and celebrate the liturgy there. He continued planting trees and constructing buildings one stone at a time. He even literally put the monastery on the California map. And that was a nice surprise. Once in the 1990s, I opened the California map from AAA and I found near Barstow, St. Anthony Monastery. I was so delighted to see that. And I asked Hani, and he told me his father was, while he was working as an engineer in the county, he influenced the production of that location of the monastery on the California formal map. Fortunately for the monastery, short-lived but welcome support returned in 1986 with General Bishop Antonios Marcos. At that time, the bishop was offered a one-year scholarship for graduate study at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena. After he had been entrusted with missionary work in the on the African continent, he stationed in Nairobi since 1976. So when Archdeacon Eustace Thacla departed in the year 2000, the monastery issued a special in their regular magazine, monthly magazine, made a special issue, a whole issue dedicated to Archdeacon Eustace Thacla, in which his Grace Bishop Antonios Marcos wrote the following, which attests to what I told you earlier in terms of the abandonment, in terms of a failed project, in terms of everything, and who was the single constant all along. This is the quote from His Grace Bishop Antonios Marcos. Quote, in 1986, His Holiness Pope Shenouda asked me to look after the monastery, St. Anthony, which has fallen into a state of deep freeze. The project was considered a failure and was forgotten by all, except for Brother Eustace. The Lord has put the monastery in his heart in an amazing way. He continued to visit the monastery once a week, taking care of its affairs and watering the trees while spending one or two nights there. Unquote. Later, Pope Shenouda sent Bishop Agathon of Ismailia and Bishop Sarabamun, the abbot of St. Pishoy Monastery, on separate pastoral missions to the United States, which included moral support for the monastery. Finally, in 1989, Pope Shenouda came for a second visit to the United States. At the chapel of St. Anthony Monastery, His Holiness ordained Noshi as Deacon Eustace in recognition for his central role in maintaining the monastery over so many years. Soon afterwards, the Pope sent monks from Egypt, four of them, to populate the monastery and transfer the richness of Coptic monasticism from Egypt to America. One of these monks was Father Karas Mbabishoy, a Sudanese Copt who had studied engineering in France. In 1993, he was elevated to bishop and abbot of the monastery. After battling cancer, he departed in 2002. Many Copts speak about his miracles and still name their children after him. And actually, his burial in the monastery is sort of a shrine for many people. Today, a few years ago, I learned that the monastery had 15 monks plus 8 novices. Probably it grew much by today. One of those monks in the year 2000 wrote an obituary for Archdeacon Eustace in the same special issue that I told you about, issued by the monastery. He said the following, quote, Archdeacon Justus had deep humility, quietness, and politeness. You find in him the image of the silent servant and the strong spirit. He had by his actions and giving what exceeds knowledge and sermons. He did not like visibility nor promoting the self, but his zeal for the monastery and monasticism was abundant. He served through purchasing and construction of the monastery and was responsible for installing electricity, a library, and deacon services. Once he brought to the monastery 300 cutlings. Cutlings is like the nickel, of, you know, like sugarcane pieces that you plant in the ground to grow trees. 300 cuttings and planted them all in a perfect pattern suitable to the work of an engineer, perfection. Or the hand of God and his angels were working with him, unquote. Archdeacon Justus was one of the founding members of the St. Shenouda Society and was very supportive of its work since its inception circa 1980. After battling with sickness for months, Archdeacon Justus departed on June 1st, 2000. In its issue of 16th of June, 2000, the monthly papal magazine Al-Karaza published an obituary. And since it's an editorial obituary and no other name was attached to it, it is highly probable that its author was the editor-in-chief of Al-Karaza magazine, His Holiness Pope Shenouda himself. So it's highly probable, 99%, and here is the quote. The departure of the beloved servant Archdeacon Justus Tekle has stirred dear emotions in us. He was one of the earliest and longest serving participants in establishing St. Shenouda Monastery in California. For many years, His Holiness the Pope desired to ordain him priest, but he excused himself out of humility and feeling of unworthiness. Repose and peace to his pure spirit in his aromatic and his aromatic life, unquote. I could not say it any better and bring this to the conclusion of my talk. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Saab.
My pleasure. I can read. Oh, let me, if I may, display the pictures and ask Hani to help out. Can you read? I need to share my screen, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Bear with me. I'll share my screen and ask Hani. I'm ahead of my time, so we have no issue here. Share screen. Do you see the picture on the screen?
This picture is from 1981.
And the
Bishop Tedros.
Oh, Bishop Tedros. And if you see my mouse, this is Mr. Noshi Tekle, right?
Yes.
Do you see my mouse? You don't know the other person, perhaps?
The other person is a relative of Ashraf Hanna.
Okay. And
he was a deacon in the church and one of the people that served in.
Okay, and this picture?
This picture most likely was 1986 or 87 when Bishop Antonius Moros was here. The big man in the middle was an archimandrite of a group that wanted. I think they were coming from Oklahoma, and they wanted to adopt the Coptic rite. And the one next to him was his assistant. Unfortunately, that did not work out. And of course, the lady is my mom.
And Mr. Nushi,
yeah,
the layman who was the constant in the monastery. Okay, let me show the other layman pictures.
This Abba Pachomius and Abuna Pshoy when he was young. So that would have been probably early in the 1980s when they were rebuilding the church. Actually, that got burned later on. And this one is the uncle of Mary Gattas, who talked with us yesterday.
Okay, and Archdeacon Yostos, yeah, before ordination. And one last laity picture.
This my father was visiting, I believe that was 1985, when he was visiting the monastery of Saint
Bishoy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it has a story, but we don't have time. There was a big friendship between him and Emba Sarabamon that continued on for many years.
Right. And of course, His Grace Bishop Sarabamon was a friend of the family. He continued to visit you at home.
Yeah.
Even after the departure of Archdeacon. And so we did all of these. And then this picture.
This picture is probably sometimes in the mid-1990s.
This is the monastery?
Yeah, this is the monastery, yeah.
Okay. And the last picture is this one.
That will be later in the 1990s.
Yeah, I should mention that when I presented in the first St. Shenouda conference in 1997, Archdeacon Yostos Takla, after I gave my humble speech, he came and gave me a nice words of encouragement by praising what perhaps was not worthy of praise. Paper. Maybe a good coincidence, it was about Archdeacon Habib Gerges and his reformation. So he was very kind and encouraging to me personally, and I'm sure to everybody who met him. So with that, we conclude, and back to you, Hani, and our audience.
I don't see any questions per se. There was a question about, is it Father Bishoy Kamel? No, this is Father Bishoy Gabriel. Well, we have about 10, 15 minutes if anyone wanted to ask about the previous papers. At the end, just to be on the safe side, at the end, we are going to end the meeting and then come back in a minute or two. The reason for that is the storage, so we can download the storage and won't have any problem. But there is a question from Edens. What's the link between Egypt and Southern California bond, or what's the bond between, or the relationship I guess the bond was the monastery, because unless you have something to add to that, but the bond here was really the monastery. In fact, its location, always the visitors would, from any of the monasteries, when they came, they always said, oh, that looks like Egypt. Even the plains that hover over there sound like the planes we have from the Air Force in Egypt. So I guess that would be the bond. As far as Father Theodore was asking about, are we going to have access to the videos from yesterday and today? God's willing, unless there is a problem. Then there was something about the weather. I don't know if that was addressed to us, but the weather here is hot. Yeah. And the weather in the monastery was very similar to the one in Egypt. Everyone said that that was an ideal location.
Actually, it's much worse, hotter. It's like can get to 130 degrees. It's called Death Valley.
But so... it's, no, Death Valley is lower. They are the high desert. The high desert is usually not as bad as the low desert like Palm Springs.
Yeah, not as bad as 130, maybe 120.
Yeah, but it's dry, which is important. Okay, I guess let's have a 15-minute break. Again, I'm going to log you all out and come back in a minute or two.
If I may say one word.
Yes, go ahead.
There was conversation about Kneiber and his, and what Professor Swanson described him and the environment. Does everyone remember that this morning in Dr. Botros Sadek's paper? And this is the book by Dr. Mark Swanson, in which that quote perhaps was taken from. And it's a very valuable book, as it's the same series of these two books. This is by Professor Magdi Gerges and Dr. Nelly Van Doorn Harder, and this is by Dr. Mark Swanson. Two of three volumes edited by Dr. Gaudet Gabra and Stephen Davis of Yale University about 2,000 years of papacy, focused on the patriarchs. So if you like to follow on the concepts of Kneiber and Kyrillus III, you can go to that volume by Dr. Mark Swanson. Thank you.
Thank you very much.